As we go into our new series, I just want to just encourage you. We played a little video just to get you in the mood to start understanding this. And how many of you have ever been disappointed at Christmas time? You've just been disappointed. You thought you were going to get something and you didn't get it. And you were just highly disappointed. And I wanted to just give you a picture of sometimes the way Christmas looks like for people. I think sometimes we have an unrealistic expectation of what Christmas is, and especially if you're a kid. You go into it thinking that you're going to get the latest and greatest gift, and sometimes your parents come up short. And you really quickly learn as you grow up that it's not necessarily about the gift, but it's about the thought and the intent behind the gift. And this whole series is about us understanding about what the real gift Jesus Christ is all about and understanding how to really battle and deal with that loneliness and despair that comes with sometimes during Christmas time. To know that the Christmas gift itself, Jesus Christ, hope, peace, joy, supersedes any type of monetary or physical gift that we could ever receive in our life. And it doesn't matter what's happening, what we're going through in our life, it's that gift that always keeps on giving in our life. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that relationship with him sustains you even during the most difficult times and the most tragic times in your life. And whether it's thinking that you were going to see the real Santa or not, whether thinking you were going to get that job or not, it doesn't matter. But you know that with Jesus Christ, that peace and that comfort that you get helps carry you through all those disappointments in life and even that loneliness sometimes in life. And so as we go into the scripture tonight, Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, it's a very familiar portion of scripture. It's a segment of the Christmas story. And I just want you to open your ears and your eyes because I believe God just wants to speak to some things with us tonight. And how many of you enjoyed that song, Peace Be Still, tonight? And because I think even in that song, it's revelation for us to understand in the midst of life, God just wants us to chill and to be at peace. Because he's doing things in our life that we cannot wrap our minds around. If we ever want to really grow in our relationship with God, we have to really understand that we can't fit God into our own box and try to understand him. And lately, and more, I've been saying to myself, stop trying to figure it out and just trust. Because the Bible says for us not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. And that's a tough part for us because we want to understand the path, and we're not going to understand the path all the time. And I don't think back in Bible times that people understood the path that they were about to be taken on. And so as we pick it up in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, it says this, "In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room or guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah of the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" And if you knew anything about what was happening in Bible times, given, this wasn't an easy task for people to go back to their hometowns. We're not talking about getting in our car and driving 10 miles down the road into the next city. We're talking on saddling up our donkeys, getting our pregnant women on those donkeys, and taking a trek. We're talking about like days to get there. And imagine during this time, because you know that there was a major Roman oppression that was going on in Jerusalem. And so you're expecting a woman who is pregnant to travel back to their hometown so they can be counted. You know, let alone we can't just pick up a phone and say, yeah, I'm here, I live in Pinellas Park. No, we've got to walk back to be counted. And so these are trying times. Because if you remember last week, we talked about Jerusalem and Israel, They had heard about Jesus and who he was, but there was this gap between the Old and the New Testament. There was like a 400-year gap where like God was not speaking. And so they were really in a, let's call it a black hole of faith. Really no direction. They heard about him, but he hadn't come yet. And so as they were taking place in this process and as things were happening, you have to understand probably what was going through their mind at the time. Why are we doing this now? And I think if most of us in here at one time or another have asked ourselves this question, why this, why now? But having to trust that God had a bigger purpose and a bigger plan in it, because it wasn't just about Mary and Joseph and the census, but God was about to reveal his very own son to the world. And even in our own life, we don't understand the magnitude and the gravity of the call that God has on us as individuals. And God has to take us through that process in order for us to get there to trust him, because it's always bigger than what we think it is. And so being able to trust the fact that God had a plan and a purpose for this baby, not knowing what it was, but Mary and Joseph going back in obedience and say, okay, we're going to be counted, let alone not about this baby being born in the greatest of conditions, about being born in a manger, a feeding trough where animals were. But at this very time, that was counterintuitive to what maybe they thought or how Jesus was going to be born, all of a sudden, hope springs forth. Right in the middle of God not speaking, all of a sudden, the unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ, is born. Shepherds went crazy. Because when you don't have something, and all of a sudden you have it and you receive it, it's an amazing feeling. But at this time and what was taking place, there was really no hope. But Jesus coming in, bringing forth that hope, changed everything on the scene. It changed everything on the scene. And the Bible says that the shepherds went back and they told all the things to all these people, and they were amazed about what was happening, and people began to talk about what was happening. And it's amazing what God does. By one simple act, all of a sudden, the atmosphere changes. People start talking. There's a buzz. And all of a sudden, things are in motion. Not that things weren't in motion. They were in motion. But now, the real gift is here. Jesus Christ. And what a gift it was. They would never be the same again, the shepherds. And I would propose to you tonight that if you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will never be the same. Never. You can't have an encounter with him and stay the same. Look at the story here, and we've heard it so many times, and you look at the way the shepherds reacted. I wonder when was the last time we reacted that way to a revelation that God gave us about his son in our life. You know, this idea of Christianity and Jesus coming into the world, it was God's idea, but it was never meant for us to hide it. It was meant to be spread. And so when we look at a story like the shepherds going in and telling people and the other people were amazed, what it is an example to us that it should be the thing that you're doing in your life right now. Not to say that there are not times of disappointment and you think things are supposed to happen a certain way and they don't happen and it dulls your faith a little bit. Your excitement for Jesus Christ isn't based upon whether or not things happen or they don't happen. It should not. Because Jesus Christ, even in himself, the Bible calls him the hope of the world. That joy that he gives us is our strength. Our relationship with God is not based on what people say and what other people don't say. Your relationship with God should not waver based upon someone else's mood toward you. And so I wonder how many of us allow that or allow the people that are closest to us dictate how our relationship with God actually should be in our life. Excited. Because you know that the Savior of the world came in to die for you and to give his life for you so that you can be lifted up. And if you ever get that revelation and you begin to understand the reality of what he did for you, it changes your level of expectation even in your own life. And so disappointment, while it is disappointing, doesn't wreck you. And it doesn't wreck your relationship with God because you know that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, and that God is good all the time. All the time. Can you imagine if God's mood was based upon whether or not you loved him at all times? He'd be in trouble. You'd be in trouble. Because God in himself doesn't waver and is not moved based upon whether or not you're having a bad day or not. God stays the same. And I think God wants us to get to that point of where we stay the same in our relationship with him, whether or not things are going our way and they're not going our way, because we know that the one who lives in us is that gift that has been given to us, that is being unwrapped constantly in our life. And that's one thing about our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not like we unwrap the gift one time and say, oh man, that's just a great gift. And no, you know what? It's like that constant thing. It happens, one of my favorite movies, okay, where she goes down to that big bag and she keeps pulling things out of it. And she goes down and Jane and Michael are like, what is going on in there? And he's looking, but she keeps pulling down there. That's that gift of Jesus Christ. That's how it is. It never ends. And so you're always opening something different. There's always a different facet about who Jesus is, or a different character trait about Jesus that maybe you haven't seen before. It's that gift that keeps on giving in your life. Through difficulty and discouragement, it doesn't matter. He's still there. That's why your hope is different than the world's hope. Because the one who lives inside of you does not change. The Bible says that daily he loads us with benefits. You are loaded right now. Loaded. You're loaded. Not the way you think you should be loaded when it comes to money, but you are loaded with benefits every single day. I challenge you during this Christmas season to go back into the Bible and look at all the promises that God has given you and look at daily what he gives you, daily. Not to mention the fact that the Bible says that his mercies are new every day, meaning this, that today's mercy is different from yesterday's mercy, and that means that like yesterday is different. So God gives you a different day to do the thing that he asks you to do. And it's the great thing about mercy is that it's new every single day. So that means we get a chance to do it again tomorrow, but not based upon yesterday. You've got to understand about what he's actually given you, and that how protected you are, and how loved you are, and how he guides you every single day in those decisions. How many of you would be honest to say, listen, if it wasn't for God, I don't know where I'd be in my life. And listen, honestly, you know he saves you even from yourselves constantly. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. And let's put it this way, all we like sheep continue to go astray. Do you know why they put sheep in a pack? Because if they don't travel in packs, do you know what their natural tendency to do is? Oh, a cliff. And so that shepherd is always bringing the sheep back in so they can travel together. They have a tendency to want to get out. And it's the one thing that's amazing about God is that he's constantly chasing us and pulling us back into where we need to be, because in our natural state, we don't seek him. We want to turn, as evident in the garden. Listen, eat whatever you like to eat. but don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, what did they do? They ate of every tree and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because our natural state is to turn away. But God's love and his mercy is so relentless that it's constantly pulling us back to where we need to be. And that's why this Christmas season is so important for us as Christians. And it's exciting because it points us to that mysterious gift, that gift that is there. All eyes, the world's eyes right now are all pointed on one thing, Christmas, whether they realize it or not, and the gift of Jesus Christ and who he is. And this is God's stage right now. God's stage. And so as Christians, how much more should we be excited about his son coming into the world right now? Because in your life, knowing that you're not the same today as you were last year, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you're different because of who he is. You have a hope that separates you apart from the world. And that hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you have a hope in you. That hope that should encourage you and push you toward your relationship with God. Isn't it an amazing thing when you think about this gift? The fact that you cannot do anything to earn it or deserve it. It's just given to you. You didn't even ask for it. But he said, I'm going to give it. Because I know that there's no way you're going to be able to repay me in this gift I'm going to give you anyway. And you don't even know how to even ask for it. So I'm going to take the initiative and give you this gift. Knowing that over time, you'll begin to understand more and more about this gift, but you're not going to understand it right now. I'm just going to give it to you, and I'm going to ask you to take it and receive it. And how many of us still struggle with trying just to receive it? It's just the gift. Well, what do I have to do for it? Nothing. It's take the gift. Open the gift. It's yours. Receive it. What else? No, just receive the gift, because once you get it, you'll begin to see its value. It'll begin to change you, and then you'll learn to walk differently because of the gift that you've got. And let's be honest, how many of you have like gotten a gift before and it's like changed your life totally? Like it was just something unbelievable. Maybe it was sentimental that somebody got you, or something you really were dreaming about and they got it for you and just kind of just changed your life, your perspective. You're like, man, I'm so appreciative about this gift and it's great, and then it broke. Or you didn't use it, or you lost it. Not this gift. It's a funny thing about this gift. It never diminishes in value. It never changes based upon the latest trends. It doesn't adjust according to what the stock market's doing. The value, it doesn't. It's the same. And God is always trying to put that gift on center stage for us to look at and for us to open. It's always that gift. It's not, there's no other thing. There's no other gift that's going to do what you need to do in your life. No other gift. No other gift. And his love is so relentless and so intense that it is always chasing you in your life. Always chasing you. I think some people believe that, well, sin entered into the world, and so, well, when sin entered in, then God just stopped loving people, and it just wasn't the same. Because if you look at the Old Testament compared to the New Testament, God's just not the same God. He's the same God. Isn't that what this whole thing is about? It's a love story of God chasing his people, bang, and walking away, but God's still chasing his people. It's the big chase, and it's like God is trying to chase us and say, listen, would you take the gift, open the gift, always showing you the gift. It's like a parent on Christmas Day. Has the gift under the tree. I have a gift for you. I want to give it to you. I don't want it. I'm telling you, take the gift. You want this one. You know, your parents ever said, you want this one. You open the other one, it's like, they're okay. But no, you want this one, because this is the one. This is the one. This is the BB gun in the Christmas story. This is the one. And God is always showing that, listen, this is the one. You want this one. I'm telling you, you want this one. Just waiting. Every day. There's the gift. Just looking at it. Man, this looks good. Gifts are made to be opened, not looked at. It's not about the wrapping paper, even though some people think it is. They adorn it, and they look great, and it's just unbelievable on the outside, but it's about what's inside. It counts. That's what you want. And I think that's what God wants us to see during this Christmas season. It's what you want. It's what you've been wanting. Really. Because when you really get down to it, deep down inside, what you're really after is Jesus. Because what you're wanting is, you're wanting hope, you're wanting peace, you're wanting prosperity, you're wanting all these things. And so what you really want, you want Jesus. Because that's who he is. And that's why when the world brings up all these imitations of what that stuff is, we gravitate toward it, and nothing necessarily wrong with that. We all like gifts, and we get gifts, and we love gifts, and we enjoy them. No problem with that. No problem. But what happens is, in our life, is that those things eventually run out more. Isn't that why there's a strategic, especially during the holidays, to release new phones, new cars, houses, prices drop. Why? Because people's appetites are up. And so all of a sudden, people start buying things. And, I got the greatest deal, because it's that time of year. And I think sometimes God, he allows us to see that and our appetites change. And let's be honest, when Thanksgiving hits and we're approaching Thanksgiving, most of our moods change in a good way. It's the holidays, it's Thanksgiving, we're excited about it, we get to eat turkey for that one time a year and not feel bad about it, okay, all the stuff, we're excited, everything changes. I know for us in my household, it's like, listen, the summer's great, fall's good, but once you start approaching like Thanksgiving and Christmas, like the attitude, the weather changes, people change, even for a day. It dropped 10 degrees, people are nicer, they're loving one another, they're helping each other string up lights. People are nicer. It's really the most wonderful time of the year. People, there's just a spirit around Christmas. I believe that's on purpose. I believe God allows you to see that it's on purpose. It's the most wonderful time of the year, but it can be the most wonderful time all year if you let it. But this time, it's that focal point. That's why. And people say it every year. Pastors say it every year. You can get a different taste of who Jesus is during this season, and you'll never be the same again. And I believe that. Because there's something happens during this time frame that doesn't necessarily happen in any other time of year. People's hearts, their minds, their attitudes, they're different, they're open. And so it's your turn now. It's your turn. You see, you know now about this gift. You've opened the gift. Most of us in here have opened the gift. We have people who are not here tonight, but that's okay. You've opened the gift. But there's still more to be seen about the gift. And the funny thing about God is that we think we get to this level and God, I'm like, man, it's just so good. There's really nothing more to learn. And all of a sudden, God, like, we see something different. And we realize that, man, there's more to learn, and we've only even scratched the surface. We hardly even know who he is. But you're getting a taste of who he is now. And so, whether you're consistent, whether you've had tragedy, whether you've had disappointment in your life, That gift is still waiting for you to discover it in a different way. You know, the one thing that's exciting about, you know, people who are married and marriages, and it's difficult at times, but it's that joy of rediscovering that person over and over again, that God gives you that ability to do so in your life. But how much more in this gift of Jesus, where all of a sudden God will show up in ways in your life that maybe you've never experienced before in your life? You know, God is like a huge, like, surprise God at times. He'll just show up during the times you don't think he's there. He'll poke his head in a party. He'll poke his head in. He'll show you his goodness. He'll show you who he is. Because he's constantly trying to get our attention to show us more about him. Because that's why we're here. That's why this life has meaning. It's because of who Jesus is. Listen, no Jesus, no life. And in Jesus, K-N-O-W, no life. Without Jesus in your life, life doesn't make sense. But now, because you have him in your life, it makes sense, and it should continue to help you push on in your relationship with God and want to know more about what he has to offer for you. Would you be honest and say you want to know more about who God is and what he has to offer for you? Because once you've tasted it, you want more. What makes the holidays so special? It's also the desserts. You're eating stuff this year, people are creating things, and you're tasting it. Why? Because inside every one of us, there's that sweet, there's that taste bud, you gravitate toward it, we want something sweet. And you know what? It all goes back to this, I'm telling you. It's that desire inside of you to want something sweet in your life. And what do you think it stems from? That desire to know Jesus and that intimacy that's there. That sweetness. Everything you see in life right now, I believe God has set up and designed to point to him in one way or another. The world perverts it in one way or another, but as Christians, you can see through some of that stuff. Meaning behind it all is to taste and see that the Lord is good and to know his goodness. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. There's no shadow of turning. No shadow. I believe God wants to give you a good life. God wants you to have a great life. And during this holiday season, for you to experience him in a totally different way. And he wants you to do that in a different way. And if you'll let him, you slow down and you'll listen, I believe God will take you up into some different levels in him. Absolutely. And that your relationship with him can get sweeter and sweeter every single day. Amen? Amen. Guys, come on up real quick. Father, we just thank you for this night. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, just how great you are. We thank you for your gift. God, we just thank you for the gift of your son, sending him here for us to experience, Lord, and to taste. We know that it's that gift, Lord, that it's waiting for us to discover more and more about. Some of us in here, most of us in here, Lord, have discovered that gift. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us to hunger after that gift and hunger after more of you. Lord, because we know that you have more for us. God, I pray for people in here that maybe have been dealing with disappointment, dealing with discouragement. God, that even now that they would just sense your peace, they would sense your love, they would sense your acceptance. Lord, that they would know, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And God, that you just did not create them just to take up space. And Lord, that you haven't brought them this far just to drop them. And God, that you have plans to prosper them. You have plans, God, to give them a hope and a future. And God, I pray that you would lift people up, encourage them today, help them, God, know that they're loved and accepted in you. And God, that experience your goodness in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen.